Do turn to Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the temple of the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
Thank you so much, Ellie. I just wonder, how are you getting on with decorating your curtains? Do keep decorating away, and you'll need your curtain in a moment. As Ellie read, did you catch what happened to the curtain in the temple when Jesus died? Have a look at verse 51. When Jesus died, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Strange, isn't it? The moment Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Say, that's weird. What's that all about? What does it mean? Well, if we want to know what that's all about, if we want to know what it means, we need to go right back to the beginning. Let me read a story that starts in the very beginning. A very long time ago, right here in this world, there was a garden. And in the garden, everything was wonderful. The world was full of laughing and playing and smiling and fun. And there was nothing bad ever. And there was no one sad ever. Can you see all the wonderful animals? Has anyone got a favorite animal? Anyone like the look of the, do you see the armadillo and the turtle? Who's got a favorite animal? If you've got a favorite animal that you're particularly enjoying spotting in the garden, do write it up on the live chat. See how the elephants are kind of giving each other showers? Do you see the hippo swimming on his back? Who's got a favorite animal? There's a little, is that a chipmunk? An anteater? Giraffes running along? Sunbathing hippo. Joe's particularly liking the elephant. Someone enjoys the rhino. Someone spotted a lion. I can't. Oh, there's the lion lying down with a lamb. It's beautiful, isn't it? There was nothing bad ever. There was no one sad ever. And best of all, God was there. Because he'd made it all and he was in charge of it all and he loved it all. And people could see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God. It's wonderful to live with God. Then one day the people did a terrible thing. They decided they didn't want to do what God said. They decided that they wanted a world without God in charge. God calls this sin. And sin spoils things. So sin has no place in God's wonderful garden. God said to the people, he said, you can't live with me in my garden anymore. And he sent them outside. And to show the people that they had to stay outside, God put some warrior angels in front of the garden, and the angels were like a big keep out sign. And now outside the garden, things were sometimes sad and people were sometimes bad, but people still kept sinning because they didn't want God to be in charge. So no one could come in to God's wonderful place. God said, because of your sin, you can't come in. But God wanted people to remember, it's wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. So he told the people to build a special building called his temple, where he would live. And in the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place in the world. It was the place where God was, with nothing bad and nothing sad. And it was very, very exciting. But then God told people to put a big curtain around this wonderful place. And the curtain had pictures of warrior angels on it. It was a big keep out sign. And for hundreds of years, the temple curtain reminded people that God had said, it's wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. And babies became grown-ups, and grown-ups had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies, and hundreds of summers and winters passed by, and the keep out curtain stayed in the temple. Then one day, God's son came to live in this world as a person. He was called Jesus. And Jesus always did what God said. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus visited the temple where the keep out curtain hung. And Jesus knew that things were sometimes bad and sometimes sad. And Jesus said that God had sent him to open the way back to God's wonderful place where there would be nothing bad and no one sad. But people still didn't want to let God be in charge, so they decided to put Jesus on a cross to die. And it was the most bad thing that has ever happened. It was the most sad day of all time. But Jesus had a plan. He had always planned to die on a cross. What a strange plan. Why would God's Son plan to die? Oh, well, on the cross, Jesus took all our sin, all the bad things we do, and all the sad things they cause. Jesus took them all from us. And when he did, something amazing, something astonishing, something astounding happened. The curtain tore. God had ripped up the keep out sign. God's wonderful place is open. It's open again because Jesus died. We can go in. Jesus says it's wonderful to live with God, but because of your sin, you can't come in, but I died on the cross to take your sin. So now all my friends can come in. Do you begin to see, just begin to see what's so good about Good Friday? Let's all grab the curtains that we've been making. Do you remember in the temple, there was this big keep out curtain. It said it's wonderful to live with God, but we can't come in because of our sin. We can't come in to live with God. And Jesus died. And you remember what happened? The curtain was torn in two. So grab your curtain and rip it in two. The curtain was ripped in two, torn in two. Why? So we could come in. So we could live with God in his wonderful place forever. A long time ago, when I was a kind of junior vicar, I fixed up to meet a friend of mine for lunch in his office in the middle of town. He was a guy called Simon Weatherseed, and I was wearing a denim jacket like this, and I was carrying a sort of scruffy old canvas bag. And as I stood at the door of this really smart office, I realized I wasn't wearing the right sort of clothes. And I went in, and this big man in a uniform, he came straight for me, he blocked my path. He said, "Can I help you, sir?" This is a very posh bank. It was the European Bank. And I am really scruffy. And this guard is very suspicious of me, and he's looking at my bag, and he won't let me in. But I need to get in. So what do I do? Do I pull out my library card, my driving license? Do I tell him about my A-level results? Do I perhaps mention my batting average? Or do I perhaps reassure him that I am a vicar in the Church of England? It's okay. No. There's only one answer I can give to get me in. I've got an appointment to see Simon Weatherseed. I'm a friend of Simon Weatherseed. And phone calls were made, and I was let in through a series of kind of security barriers. And we went for lunch. We went for lunch in what was laughingly called the cafeteria. Now, when you eat in a cafeteria, what would you expect to eat? Well, we had monkfish, the sort of thing you have on your wedding anniversary, and we just had it for Thursday lunch. And I was in this dining room, this really posh dining room, full of all these people in suits, in my scruffy old denim jacket and my scruffy old bag. And everyone was staring at me saying, "What's he doing there?" What gave me the right to sit there enjoying the monkfish? It was only one thing, wasn't it? It was not my A-levels or my batting average or the fact that I was a vicar. I sat there enjoying the monkfish all because I was friends with Simon Weatherseed. By myself, I had no right to go in. And friends, by ourselves, we can't come in to friendship with God. The only way I can come into friendship with God is if I am with Jesus. And the danger is many of us are still going to the temple, not in Jerusalem, but in our hearts. And we think there is this big curtain. And we think that maybe if we are good enough, if we give to charity, if we go to church, if we say our prayers, maybe God will let us squeeze in under the curtain. But it's miserable because we're not sure. We're not sure if we have been good enough. We're not sure if he really wants us to come in. No. God says, do you see how much I want you to come in? On the cross, I have sacrificed myself for you. I've taken all your sin, all that's bad, all that's sad. It's not about what you have to do. It's about what I have done. And I have done what it takes so you can come in to live with me. Friends, if I'm with Jesus, I can walk in and enjoy life with God. You say, are you sure? Think about the curtain. It's ripped in two. You can't sew it up again. The way in is wide open. And life with God is wonderful. It's the life we were created for. It's wonderful to be loved by him. See, because everyone else says, I'll love you if you're funny, or you're pretty, or you're clever, or you're rich. And that's scary, isn't it? Because what if you stop being funny? What if you stop being so pretty? What if you fail your exams? What if you lose your job? Will they still love you? See, the amazing thing with God is I didn't do anything to get in to his love. It means I can't do anything to get kicked out of his love. Such a relief that his love for me doesn't depend on whether I am good enough. I can come in and enjoy his love simply because I am with Jesus. And instead of not being sure, can I really come in? Does he really love me? Could he really love me? Will he kick me out? I can be sure because I'm with Jesus, which means he's never going to kick me out, which means he loves me with a love that is for keeps. And when you know that, when you know that the God of the universe loves you with a love that is for keeps, you start to get a feel for why Good Friday is so good. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that because of Jesus, because he died on a cross for us, we can come in to life with you forever. We thank you that that's why Good Friday is so, so good. Amen.